for us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, well, good evening to Wasatch Avenue Baptist Church. And first of all, I'd just like to say thank you for your prayers and all of the blessing you were to my family last year when we came through. It was, like the pastor was saying, it was a difficult time for us, and we do really appreciate the fact that y'all just took us in and just took care of us, you know, in that period, and we're just a great blessing. The Juergen family was a great blessing. They put us up in their home for a while, and I want to thank you, brother, for that, and just the great blessing y'all were to us. Now, before we get started here, we're just going to quickly show the video, and after that, I'll just kind of give y'all a quick testimony. Give you a bit of an update as to what's been going on in the ministry since we were here last, and as to our plans moving forward. So now I'll just have the brother will play our video for us. Thank you.
Hello, we are the Holman family, Joshua, Georgina, Sheila, Caleb, and Megan, church planting missionaries on the field of Rome, Italy. Thank you for taking a few minutes to watch our video, and we ask that you would remember the Homans to the Romans in your prayers. On March of 2004, my father, Jamie Homan, surrendered to the Lord's call to go to Rome, Italy, and after almost a 3-year deputation, we arrived on the field in March of 2007. Since then, the Lord allowed my father to start 2 independent, Bible-believing churches, an Italian and an English-speaking work, as well as a separate Bible study which has since grown into its own church, now pastored by missionary Angelo Serino, and we ask your prayers for Brother Angelo and his wife, Shayla, as he continues to oversee this work. In addition to this, the Lord has allowed us to start a few different nursing home ministries, which have seen a number of souls saved since they began. In July of 2023, the Lord called my father home to heaven after almost 17 years on the field of Italy. However, in those years, my father discipled and trained young men to carry on the work of the ministry. By God's grace, in the months following my father's passing, we continued to do just that. Through the Lord's guidance and direction, the doors of both churches remained open, saints were ministered to, the gospel was preached, and nursing home ministries continued, albeit on a smaller scale for the moment.
Dice che Cristo è morto per i nostri peccati, che egli fu seppellito e al terzo giorno risuscitò. Ok? Il Signore Gesù Cristo è risorto per noi perché Lui ha vinto contro la morte. Ok? Solo Gesù Cristo può darci la vita eterna.
After much prayer and seeking the Lord's face, on November of 2023, I surrendered to stay in Italy and continued the work that the Lord allowed my father to start. Since then, we have continued to put the gospel out on a weekly basis through various methods, such as tract distribution and mailboxing, which allow us to potentially reach hundreds of homes in just a few hours.
Thank you.
Bible says in 2 Samuel 10:12, "Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." Again, we ask you to please pray for the Homans to the Romans. Thank you.
All right, well, some of what I was going to say was already presented in the video. So just to give a brief testimony about myself, I was greatly blessed by the Lord to be able to grow up in a Christian home, as your pastor was explaining, raised by two godly parents, and as your pastor also did kind of go into a little bit. Yes, my dad met my mom overseas while he was in the Marine Corps. He led her to the Lord and was able to disciple her. And soon after, when he got out of the Marine Corps, he went back to his home church in Huntsville, Alabama, Bible Believers Baptist Church, and that's the church where I grew up, and that's where I got a lot of my early training, discipleship. It was actually my father who led me to the Lord at a young age, and he was able to take a Bible and explained to me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And I didn't understand much more than that, but I understood that I needed the Lord if I wanted to go to heaven, so I called upon the Lord, and he saved me. And my dad actually, for a long time, even much while we were in the ministry, since I was sitting under his preaching and teaching for a while, he was responsible for a lot of my training, my growth, the instruction I received in God's Word. And as you saw in the video, we've been on the field now as a family, the Holman family. We've been there for many years now, almost 17, coming up on 18 years now. Started a couple different works, and a couple of the ministries that weren't mentioned in the video were a couple different Bible studies, one of which being in the national headquarters of the World Food Program, which is a department of the United Nations. Their headquarters are there in Rome, and because we have some people there from the office, they are members of the church, my dad was able to get in and have a Bible study there on a weekly basis. And that is something that kind of we stopped doing when his health started declining, but that is something that we have been praying about, something we would like to get back to doing, as well as maybe starting a new Bible study up in the northern part of Rome, where there is a brother from our church who lives up that way and has a lot of folks that he could get to church that wouldn't ordinarily come to church just because of the great distance. So those are kind of a couple works we're praying about restarting or starting again, and we'll see how the Lord leads when we get back to Italy. And so just a quick update on what's been going on then in the ministry. As you all know, my dad passed away last year, but before that happened, as his health started declining, before him and my mom came back here to the States, he called myself and another brother from the church into his office. This other brother was actually up in the video several times, and he asked us to pray about something with him. And that was whether or not we'd be willing to take on the roles of assistant pastors in the English and Italian churches, respectively. And after some time in prayer, we came back and told him we would be willing to do that. And not long after, his health got to a point where him and my mom came back here to the States to try to get him some treatment. And before he left letters to both churches, leaving myself and this young man as acting pastors of both the churches. That way the work would continue. And then we came back here, we had the funeral, everything. And in that period, when we were here last, I was still unsure of, you know, what the Lord wanted me to do. My plan, obviously, as was already expressed, was to go back and try to stay with the church at least long enough until we could figure out where to go from there, figure out how the Lord would lead for us to be able to turn the work over or however, whatever the Lord had in mind. But it never occurred to me that he might have me staying there on a permanent basis. My plan was short term, just to see, you know, stay there long enough to get it turned over to someone else, praying, "Lord, send someone to take over this work." Yeah, as it turned out, he did have someone in mind. Yes, and one evening driving home from work, I was been thinking and praying. My plan had still been to come back here to the States, go back, sit in my home church in Alabama. And so I'd been, you know, thinking, praying, trying to move in that direction, but no doors seemed to be opening up. I was looking for potential places of employment, places to live. Nothing seemed to be going. And then at some point, I realized that I had never surrendered to stay if that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I did. I prayed, Lord, if you want me to stay here, then I'll do it. And pretty soon after that, doors started opening. Things started falling into place and just started having a clearer picture of how to move forward in that ministry. And it was soon after that that the Lord put Georgina on my heart. And it wasn't long after that we started courting. And just a couple weeks ago, we were married. And thank you for your prayers regarding that. And just finished our honeymoon, got into San Antonio on Saturday. And since then, we've been enjoying a bit of your city here, been doing the river walk, a little bit like that, walking around the city, plan to visit a bit more before we head out. So that's where we're at now. We'll be heading out pretty much on Saturday. We'll be heading over to Burnet, Texas, have a couple meetings over that way, and then have a couple more places to visit before we fly out on September 10th to get back to Rome and pretty much hit the ground running, start back up with both churches, public outreach, and as the Lord leads, maybe even some Bible studies. But those new ministries we might be looking at maybe after the first, at least until things get settled down. So that's kind of where we're at with the ministry. That's kind of what's going on. So this evening, I'd just like to give you all a little something from God's Word and ask you to open your Bibles this evening to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. We'll read a few verses here, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 8. We'll be reading to the end of the chapter. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do come before you now, and we do want to thank you and praise you for your many blessings on us, for your goodness, for your kindness, your grace, and your mercy towards us, Father. You have given us so much that we don't deserve, and you have not given us, Father, what we do deserve. And we thank you and praise you for that. And Father, I do thank you for this church and their faithful prayers and their help and the blessing they've been to our family. And I just pray that you'd bless them for it. And Father, I pray you just help me now as I stand to deliver your word. Pray you just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words to say. And I pray the message this evening would be a blessing and a help to your people. I pray that you would speak to hearts through thy word. And I pray, Father, above all, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be praised, honored and glorified from this service. And all these things we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now in this passage this evening, we do read about the battle between Israel and Amalek. But the message, the focus of the message won't be so much this evening on this battle itself as so much on the enemy. Now what are a few things we see right off about Amalek? We see that they are the first ones to really attack Israel after they come out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. They're their first enemy, the first ones to oppose them. And as a result of this and a few other things that we will see about Amalek, Amalek is often typified, is often represented or associated with our flesh. And why is that? Well, Amalek, They're pretty much the ones that, not only the first ones to attack Israel, but pretty much they were the ones that were a thorn in their side until they were finally destroyed. They're the ones that continued to give them problems until the Lord eventually destroyed them before Israel. And one of the things we see about Amalek in the Bible is that they defied God. It says he feared not God. Amalek showed no fear of the Lord, but attacked his people. And pretty much, well, if you look at our flesh, the flesh tends to defy God on a regular basis, does it not? We read God's word. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're not supposed to do. But yet, knowing this, we still go ahead and go against God's word, even though we know it's wrong. We defy God's word on a regular basis. And our flesh is pretty much that one enemy that's always with us. That one that's always a thorn in our side. Even when it's not the world and it's not the devil, we can't ever get away from that flesh. Even if we do like Buddha and go sit in a cave and meditate for years, we still can't get away from this flesh, can we? We're stuck with it until the Lord comes to take us home. We are stuck with this flesh. And our flesh will willingly defy God and deliberately go against His will, knowing that it's wrong. And Amalek, you know another thing we see about Amalek? In Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19, it says, it explains how He met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary. You know another thing we see about Amalek? That Amalek was strategic. They didn't just go for a frontal assault right on Israel. They hit them where and when they were the weakest. They hit them when they were the most vulnerable. When Israel was coming out of the land, they were tired. They were exhausted. But Amalek didn't hit them in the front where all their fighting men were. No, they struck them in the rear where they were the most vulnerable to attack. And our flesh does the same thing, does it not? It knows our weak points. It knows where we're most vulnerable. It knows just when to attack. Our weaknesses, our shortcomings are all known to our flesh, are they not? And it will take advantage of them, just like Amalek. Our flesh is going to come after us when we least expect it. Sometimes the devil and the world are easier to counter, depending on the situation, depending on how we're feeling, how we're doing spiritually. If we're having a good day, we're close to the Lord. The world and the devil are easier to contrast, aren't they? But the flesh, oh, it comes after us when we're most vulnerable. It comes after us when we're at our weakest. Therefore, Amalek, the flesh, is probably one of the most dangerous of the enemies that a Christian faces. And you know, Israel never got rid of Amalek until the time of Esther when the Agagite was finally wiped out, did they not? And well, we're going to be stuck with this flesh until the Lord comes back to give us a new body. And then and only then will the flesh be destroyed. And what a day that will be. But until then, we're stuck within this constant conflict with the flesh who defies God, who goes against God's word. But I want to look at a few things this evening. Three things we see in this passage that led to defeating Amalek. And yes, the war was not over in this passage, but the battle was won. And what is a war? It's a series of conflicts. It's a series of battles. And just how did Israel win this battle against Amalek? Well, let's look at three things. First of all, we see in our passage in verses 10 and 11, it says, "So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." So first of all, we see supplication. First of all, in this passage, we see Moses praying, crying out to God, praying and begging him for victory over Amalek. And that's the first step. That's always the first step, isn't it? Is prayer, going to the Lord and begging him for victory, begging him for the strength to fight this battle. Because without that, If we miss this step, we skip it, no matter what kind of preparation we have, no matter what we do, we don't stand a chance in the battle against the flesh if we skip this first step. The first step is always going to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 6, 9, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." And what a great blessing it is to have the ear of God. That when we are struggling, that when we are facing the challenges, the struggles, the temptations, whatever it be, whatever it may be, that we have the Lord's ear, that we can go to Him in prayer and ask for His help, ask for His strength to get through whatever it is that we're facing. You know, Israel in this passage, they needed God's help. Outside of God's help, they didn't stand a chance in this battle. I mean, think about it. They had just gotten out of Egypt. They were untrained. They had little to no experience, probably little to no equipment. They needed God's help. Amalek had been in this game a lot longer than Israel had. But without God's help, they wouldn't have been able to win this battle. We see that as long as Moses' hands were raised in prayer, raised in supplication to God, we see Israel was winning. But as soon as that prayer stopped, as soon as those supplications ceased going before the Father, Amalek started having the upper hand, didn't he? Look over at Psalms chapter 58. Psalms chapter number 58. Psalms chapter 58. Psalms 58 and verse number 3, and this is a verse that probably everyone in here is familiar with. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Guess what, brethren? Well, we're all born sinners. This flesh has an advantage from day one. I mean, think about it. None of us had to be taught how to lie to our parents, did we? None of us had to be taught to try to be sneaky and get away with things. None of us had to be taught to disobey our parents. That comes naturally. The flesh, the odds are stacked in the flesh's favor from day one. Outside of the Lord's help, we don't stand a chance of getting through this battle. With all these odds against us, we need all the help we can get, brethren, brothers and sisters. We want the Lord with us, not against us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5 that He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I mean, as much as we have to face in this Christian life as is, I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me too. With everything else we got going against us, I'd like the Lord to be for me and not against me. We want the Lord on our side if we want to stand a chance at winning this battle. At winning the everyday battles that the flesh throws our way. Esther chapter number 4. Esther chapter number 4. Esther chapter number 4. Esther 4, we'll read a couple of verses here. Esther chapter number 4, and begin reading in verse number 6. So the Bible says, "So Hatach went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it to Esther, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication before him and make request before him for her people." And you all know the story here, so we won't go into it. But the long and short of it is that Esther needed help. She needed a lot of help. But guess what? She couldn't get the help she needed without going before her king in supplication. If she hadn't have gone before the king and begged for his help, prayed for his help, this story may have had an entirely different ending, a much more unpleasant one. However, we know how the story ends. We read the end of the book. However, to get to that desired end, they had to seek the king in prayer. How often do we seek our king in prayer, Christian? How often do we go before our king in supplication? Lord, help me. When we start our day with prayer and Bible reading, fortify ourselves spiritually for what's to come. Because if we don't, Well, we already, from that point on, we give the flesh an advantage throughout the day, don't we? I mean, you look in that passage where Saul and Jonathan are going out to face the Philistines, and there's only a sword to be found in the hand of the king and his son. We see the people have been disarmed, they're not prepared for the battle, and at the beginning, the end of that passage, you know what we see? Before the battle even happens, the Philistines are able to move in and take an advantageous position because the Israelites are unprepared. They've been disarmed. And if we don't equip ourselves properly in the morning before facing the struggles, the trials, the battles that the flesh is going to throw our way, we tend to lose the strategic position. And we tend to give our flesh a position, a place where it can easily strike from. However, if we go before our king in the morning, we make supplication. Lord, don't know what battles I'm going to be facing today. Don't know what's coming my way throughout this day, but I pray you'd help me, strengthen me for it. With that supplication, we already stand a better chance at facing the battles that come our way. Mordecai and Esther needed the king's help if they were going to defeat the enemy. Nothing's changed today, Christian. We still need our king's help if we're going to win this battle. The Bible says in James 4:17, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We tend to gloss over the first part of that verse, don't we? We tend to ignore that first part about submitting ourselves to God because our flesh, boo, we don't like submitting to anyone or anything, do we? Whether it's God, the government, whatever it is, we don't like to submit. However, if we're going to get to the second part of that verse, if we're going to be able to have the spiritual strength we need to resist the devil, or just add in the flesh, if we're going to get the strength we need to resist the flesh, we need to be able to submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to God's Word. Because if we don't submit ourselves to God's Word, then we've set ourselves up for failure then and there. We say we believe that the Bible is God's Word, but do we act like it? Do we live like it? Do we live by the principles in God's Word? Because if we don't, well then, we're lying, aren't we? We say, oh, I believe the Bible's God's Word, but I kind of do what I want to do. I kind of, the Lord and I have a special understanding. How many times have we heard that? That sounds like a lazy Christian, doesn't it? Was just talking to someone, actually last Saturday, my brother and I were over at the barber, we were talking, and talking with the barber, and he was saying, yeah, he reads the Bible. He said, I probably should read a little more, but, the Lord and I, I have my own way of worshiping the Lord. We have an understanding. It's like, well, I didn't want to say anything because he was cutting my hair. I didn't want to set me up for failure there. But, how often have we heard that? But supplication, supplication equals prayer. Prayer equals submission. Think about it. When we bow our head, get on our knees, and pray to the Lord for help, we are, in effect, submitting ourselves to Him. We are admitting that we need help, and we can't do it on our own. But we need that supplication. We need to go before the Lord in prayer. We need to cry out for the Lord, to cry out to the Lord for help and deliverance. Look over at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 19. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 19. 2 Chronicles 19. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter number 18 and verse number 29. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will go into battle. I will disguise myself and will go into battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And that was a blessing for Jehoshaphat, I'm telling you that. He's surrounded by the enemy. He cried out, Lord, help me. And guess what? They moved off from him. I mean, the Lord gave some pretty quick intervention in that moment, which without that, Jehoshaphat would have been in for a world of hurt. But he got involved in a situation that he should not have been involved in. He got associated himself with the king of Israel. He got himself into this situation. But guess what? He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. I mean, how often is it that we get ourselves, we get into situations of our own making? We get into situations and we cause problems for ourselves. But what a blessing it is that we can still go to the Lord and He can still get us out of trouble. He can still deliver us even when we get ourselves in trouble. I can imagine the Lord up there is like, oh, He's done it again. He's done it again. Well, I best get down there and deliver Him again. But what a blessing that is that we have that option. We have this great asset at our disposal to go to the Lord in prayer. The Creator of the universe is there with an open ear, willing to help us out with our little struggles. Amen? What a great blessing that is. And if we're going to stand a chance in the battle against Amalek, against our flesh, we need to cry out to the Lord in prayer. Because, well, if we don't, then these other two steps we're going to see are pretty much null and void if we don't start with prayer. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter 17. And verse number 12, the Bible says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." First of all, we saw supplication. You know what we see here? We see support. Moses needed help. He couldn't get through that day. He wouldn't have been able to get through that day on his own. He needed the support of his brothers. If he was going to get through that day of battle, if he was going to keep his hands raised in prayer, he needed the support of his brethren to keep his hands up. Why? The flesh is weak. But his brethren were there, and they were able to help strengthen him. Now, supporting the congregation in battle, even though Moses wasn't down there on the front line himself, he was back there providing the heavy support. He was beseeching the Lord in prayer, but he needed a little support himself too. He needed the support, he needed the help of his brothers if he was going to get through that day. We see in Ephesians 6 that Paul asks the brethren, he asks for boldness to be able to speak for the Lord. Even Paul had his struggles. He had the areas where he needed the support of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's, you know what, that's encouraging. To see Paul, you know, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and yet we see him that he needed help too. He needed prayer just as much as we do. I mean, we tend to be, you know, in our pride, we tend to think, you know what, I can do this on my own. We tend to think, I can get through this life without the church. I can get through this life without my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, well, while it may be possible, it's going to be a lot more difficult. It's going to put a lot of unnecessary difficulty there. If you pull a coal away from a burning bed and a fire, guess what? Before long, that coal is going to start to get cold, isn't it? Without the support of the others, without the heat from the others, it's going to start to cool off. It's going to start to get cold. But you push it back in there, it can get hot again. What a blessing that is that we have our brothers and sisters in Christ, a Christian support network where we can go and we can help each other, be a blessing to each other. We can pray for each other, because without that support, it's going to be a lot more difficult to get through this life. It's going to be a lot more difficult to face the struggles of the flesh without having our brothers and sisters to support us. This war that the Lord has put us in is not a one-man show. We need all the members to be working together. It takes the entire body together to keep this war effort moving forward. We see, in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul is talking about prayer, and we see the object of that prayer, he gives you a specific thing to pray for. You know what it was? He says, for all saints. We need to be praying for each other. We need each other's prayers. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be praying for our church, praying for our pastors, because without that prayer, we're going to be missing that vital support that we need to be able to get through the struggles that the flesh, that life throws our way. We need to be able to lift each other up in prayer. The Bible says in Colossians 1:3, praying always for you. Praying always for you. The Bible says furthermore in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We may tend to get the idea, tend to get the mentality. It's like, well, you know, what's the big deal if I miss a day? What's the big deal if I don't pray all the time? Well, that's one less prayer that's going up before the Father. That's one less prayer regarding a brother and sister in Christ who may need it that day. Our prayers, when made from a right heart, are taken very seriously by the Lord. What a great blessing that is, that He takes us seriously, that He wants to hear from us, and that if we're where we need to be with the Lord, then we can lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Lord will have an open ear, and He takes that very seriously. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. First Samuel 12, verse number 22, the Bible says, "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way." Notice Samuel's response in this verse. He went so far as to say it would be a sin against God if he were to cease praying, lifting up his brothers and sisters before the Lord. And the Lord saw fit to include that here in this passage. He saw fit to include that here, that statement. I mean, that just shows us the high premium that the Lord puts on prayer. And how little we tend to think about it, how little emphasis we tend to put on prayer in our personal lives with the Lord. It's really sad. We have this great tool at our disposal, and how little use we seem to make of it. Samuel, he believed he would be sinning against the Lord if he ceased to lift up his brethren in prayer before God. And that's food for thought right there. All right, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 17. We're nearly done here. I just want to look at one more thing quickly. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus 17, so this evening we've seen supplication. We've seen support. And finally, look down in the last part of verse number 12. Last part of verse number 12. "And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Lastly, we see steadfastness. Because of the prayer, because of the supplication, because of the support, Moses was able to keep his hands raised in prayer until the going down of the sun. He had the strength and the steadfastness to go on until the battle was won. He kept praying until the enemy was finally defeated for as long as the battle raged. You know how steadfastness is defined in the Webster's 1828 dictionary? It's defined as the quality of being resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. Moses was pretty unwavering in his commitment to pray. He was pretty unwavering in his commitment to his Lord and to his brethren in that battle. He was steadfast until the battle ended. And the battle is long, isn't it? But, I mean, the Lord will give us the strength. If we pray, we go to the Lord in prayer, we support one another in prayer, Then, with all of that going for us, then it's up to us to have the steadfastness to see this thing through until the end. We saw, heard the verse in the presentation, 2 Samuel 10:12, "Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth Him good." That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. We read about that battle there with Joab and Abishai. And they're surrounded on both sides by enemies, the Ammonites on one side, the Syrians on the other. And Joab, his plan was simple, divide and conquer. So he sent his brother with some of the men, he took the rest. If the enemy be too strong for you, I'll come and help you. If they're too strong for me, you come and help me. I like it how we don't see in the passage, it never seemed to cross his mind, what if the enemy is too strong for both of us? Nope. That never even entered in his mind, not even taken into consideration, because, well, they were out there fighting the battles for their Lord, and Joab knew, you know, we get in the battle, we fight, the Lord's going to deliver us. There's no way they're both going to be too strong for us. That's not even an option. I mean, I just like Joab's attitude there. I mean, yeah, he had a lot of problems, but when it comes to fighting the Lord's battles, fighting the battles of his king, you can't beat that attitude. Where he's like, you know what, we're going to go into battle and we're going to win. You know what, it may be too hard for one of us, but then guess what? I'll just come help you if it's too hard for you. You come help me if it's too hard for me, but we'll get this thing done. We're not going to lose this thing. Take some steadfastness to stick it through. See the battle to the end. Look over in 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel 23. We stay in the battle. The Lord will deal with the rest. He's given us all the tools we need. We just have to get in the battle to stay in the battle and leave the rest up to Him. This verse that we just read, 2 Samuel 10:12, or that we just saw, this one was a great encouragement to me early on as we were starting, as we went back to Italy and started kind of taking over the work there. Initially, it was like, what on earth am I doing? I was talking to the other brother who, you know, we're sort of doing this thing together. We're like, you know, what on earth are we doing? How are we going to do this? That verse there, 2 Samuel 10:12, was a great encouragement. You know what? It's like, if we do what we need to do, then the Lord will take care of the rest. I mean, seemed a little bit overwhelming, I'll be honest. But you know what? The Lord's blessed it so far. The doors of both of the churches were able to stay open. And what a blessing that is. The Lord blessed it and we're able to move forward. So we just keep doing that. I figure the Lord will keep working out the details. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, I believe I said, in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And after him was Shammah the son of Agee the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." And this is an incredible passage, reading about these feats of David's mighty men. And in this particular one, we read about Shammah. And all the rest of the people ran away that day. But guess what? Shammah had a different attitude. His mentality was, "Here I stand. You're not going to move me. Everyone else may have run, but the Lord still had one man there standing." And guess what? That's all he needed. He had one person standing for him, one person standing in the gap, and the Lord was able to give a great victory as a result. Can you imagine? We don't really read about it in the passage, but he stood in the midst of the ground, he defended it. I imagine that took a long time. Imagine, one against one, oh, talk about a one-man army. They may have been coming after him all day, but he stood there, steadfast in the midst of that field and defended it. Like, you know what? We got a battle here to fight for my God, for my king. And you know what? If the enemy wants this ground, they're going to have to come and take it because I'm not going to give it up. And what an incredible story that is. He took a stand for his God against his enemies, and as a result, the Lord gave him a victory. The Lord didn't need the whole army that day. He just needed one man who was willing to stand for him. And then the Lord did the rest. How often do we see that in Israel's, the history of Israel's battles, that the Lord tells them, "Don't worry, you may be outnumbered, but I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to give you the victory." How many times we see them outnumbered so badly, there's no way they should win. But guess what? They go out, they present themselves to the battle, and the Lord gives them a victory. Why? Because they're willing to stand for Him. They're willing to go out and present themselves, fight the battle, fight in their Lord's battles, and as a result, they won. And the Lord gave them a victory. Look over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day," notice this, "and having done all, to stand." No magic formula, no special verse that's going to do it, but it pretty much comes down to that, doesn't it, Christian? Going to have to make the decision to stand for the Lord, no matter what. And we read that in the verse, "having done all, to stand." Once we've done everything in our power to do, we've prayed, we've prepared, we've done everything we can possibly do to prepare for the battle, all we have left to do is just to stand. We stand for the Lord, and He'll give us the victory. So this evening we saw three things. We saw the supplication, we saw the support, and we saw steadfastness. And as a result of these three things, Israel achieved victory over Amalek. As well, Christian, we follow these steps, we can achieve some victories in this Christian life for the Lord. We need that prayer, we need that support, but we also need that steadfastness. There were two battles going on that day, one being fought on the physical front, but one also being fought on the spiritual front by Moses. He was lifting up those soldiers to the Lord. And guess what? Both of those battles were necessary to win the day. One could not have succeeded without the other. Prayer is crucial to our success, but it's only half the battle. If we pray but then don't get out there and do anything, what have we accomplished? Asking God for victory over Amalek didn't guarantee the victory. That was only the first step. The army still had to go out and face the enemy if they were going to win. They needed both. We need each other's prayers if we're going to achieve victory. Well, it's important. It's crucial that we pray one for another. And then finally, we need to keep at it and not quit. Moses, he had his hands raised to the Lord until the going down of the sun. And the Lord gave him the victory. And this battle against Amalek won't be over until the Lord calls us home and gives us a new body. And what a day that will be. But until then, we have a battle to fight, Christian. Until then, we need to be praying not only for ourselves, but also for each other. And that we need to keep fighting because, well, that is the only way we stand a remote chance at defeating Amalek. Supplication, support, and steadfastness. I'll just reread one verse once more and we'll be done. Exodus 17, verse number 11. "And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." When prayer ceases, Amalek prevails. But the more prayer is going up, the more the prayers are going up, the more we can prevail against Amalek. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we do want to thank you again, Father, and just praise you for everything you've given us, everything you've done for us, for all your blessings on us. We thank you that you've given us this tool called prayer, that we can go to you, Father, when we're feeling weak, that we can go to you to pray, lift each other up,